The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 16th chapter. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." And he strictly charged the disciples to tell no one that he was the Christ. The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Who do people say that the Son of Man is? Jesus asked his disciples. The varied answers demonstrate the problem of soliciting opinions. The views offered will be as numerous as the number of people asked. This is especially true concerning the Son of God. Identifying him correctly is complicated even more than by what Luther called the bondage of the will. Luther, following the lead of Scripture, is right when he says there is no such thing as a free will when it comes to trusting God. Because all people are descendants of Adam and Eve, all have inherited from them the original sin, that is, not trusting God's word. And the bondage runs deep. It is total, and it cannot be removed by denial, education, discipline, or any other thing for that matter. All people are truly bound in their unwillingness and inability to trust God and turn trusting in oneself instead. So, when it comes to Jesus, people think themselves able to decide who the Son of God is and what he does, as reflected in the varied names offered by the people at the beginning of our gospel passage. What can break such bondage? What can stop a person from trusting that he or she can know and understand who God is and what God is doing? Well, the only answer is God. And just listen to what happened to Peter. "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God," Peter confessed. To which Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven." But Peter wasn't blessed because he mustered up the right answer. Peter wasn't exhibiting potential to become the first pope. I'm sorry, my Roman Catholic brethren, that's not quite right. No, Peter was blessed because God the Father chose to reveal God the Son to him through the power of God the Holy Spirit. And we know this because, as we'll hear next week, Peter, left to himself apart from God revealing himself, becomes the very mouth of Satan. Bottom line, left to themselves, original sinners are bound to stay bound in their unbelief and mistrust of God. And that brings us to the point of this passage. The point is not for us simply to identify the Son of God and then assign meaning to his presence among us. The point of this passage is Jesus' promise to build his church that is unable to be prevailed against even by hell itself. This passage is about Jesus promising to deliver us from our bondage to mistrust of God by giving us trust in God. And the way God does this is the church. The church is when the gospel is proclaimed through the historical, tangible, verifiable means of word and sacrament. With the gospel promise preached into bread, wine, and water, God makes trust in sinners who, left to themselves, are bound not to trust. At the font, at the communion rail, from this pulpit, Almighty God, who does not lie, promises steadfast love and mercy without condition for the sake of Christ. God promised it. Therefore, his promise is undeniable. And just so, God has made trust in his word and bound the bondage of original sinners. And how exactly is this proclamation supposed to happen? The answer is, when Jesus' preachers open their mouths and use the keys to the kingdom that he gave them. When Jesus' preachers, and not only the ones with dog collars on, open their mouths and bind mistrust, replacing it with God's trust-creating promise. Well, here we are. We should try it, don't you think? Bound descendant of Adam, by the authority of Jesus Christ, I forgive you the entirety of your mistrust of God. Your sin is bound, and the kingdom of God is yours forever. Amen.